When truth walks the plank. The threat to kill the messenger who brings bad news must be as old as humankind. At least Sophocles made that clear in his play Antigone. A guard brings the ruler of Thebes, Creon, some news that makes Creon boil with anger, and his guard announces, "I was the unlucky man who won the prize, the luck of the draw. And that's why I'm now here, not of my own free will or by your choice. I know that, for no one likes a messenger who comes bearing unwelcome news with him." And now, nearly 2,500 years later, Captain Brett Crozier of the aircraft carrier, the Theodore Roosevelt, found himself bearing unwelcome news that alerted his nation and the most powerful ruler of the free world. And he knew the cost of bringing bad news. For days, Crozier had repeatedly asked his superiors privately for speedy action. The coronavirus, COVID-19, had jumped aboard his ship. The only remedy that would save lives and health was to evacuate the sailors and clean up the ship. But the Navy was still minimizing the risk. On March 30th, Captain Brett Crozier finally reached out to his superiors for help publicly. That is, he sent a request for assistance in response to COVID-19 epidemic to his three commanding officers with copies to seven other captains. He attached his formal request to an email with this covering message. "I fully realize that I bear responsibility for not demanding more decisive action the moment we pulled into port in Guam. But at this point, my only priority is the continued well-being of the crew and embarked staff. I believe if there's ever a time to ask for help, it's now, regardless of the impact on my career." Regardless of the impact on my career. Captain Crozier was fully aware that his plea for help would impact his career, and it would be less than positive. What forced his request? He had a crew of more than 4,000 sailors, and he got the luck of the draw. He was the unlucky commander of the first U.S. warship that now had to acknowledge publicly that the coronavirus pandemic had come on board and that every sailor on his carrier was at risk for illness and death. On March 24th, three cases on the carrier were announced by the Pentagon. 24 hours later, that number more than doubled. The Navy ordered Crozier to dock the ship in Guam, but approved no plan to deal with the virus. On March 28th, Crozier contacted an admiral in Washington, and the next day he reached out to the chief of staff of acting Navy Secretary, that was Thomas Modley, to tell him the urgency of the situation. Still, no plan was offered. By March 30th, 33 of his sailors had come down with a plague. He wrote, "The spread of the disease is ongoing and accelerating." Before the outbreak on the aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt was finally addressed. More than 1,100 of his crew of over 4,000 sailors would test positive for the virus, and one sailor would be dead. What was Crozier telling his superiors? That the Navy must face up to the fact that a ship, any ship, even a cruise ship, cannot keep its crew or passengers safe once the virus is on board. His ship could follow none of the guidelines of the Centers for Disease Control because of the inherent limitations of space. Quarantine, isolation, those are impossible in a vessel with most berths in close contact, shared restrooms, confined small workspaces, shared mess halls, mandatory close work contact, and inevitable close contact with other exposed individuals in a ship's narrow passageways. So what was he asking for? In order to prevent unnecessary deaths and reduce the number of sailors who got the virus, well, the ship had to be cleaned and the ship environment disinfected. Lodging on land for most of the ship's personnel was essential to comply with the CDC and Navy rules, and there had to be single rooms where each sailor could quarantine alone for 14 or more days and get medical care when needed. There was nothing cheap about that, but as he wrote, keeping over 4,000 young men and women on board is an unnecessary risk and breaks faith with those sailors entrusted to our care. And Crozier closed his letter with a very simple request. Request all available resources to find Navy Administration and CDC compliant quarantine rooms for my entire crew as soon as possible. Such a simple solution to a problem of life or death. Fund more than 4,000 single private hotel rooms for 2 weeks or more while the ship gets sanitized and all sailors are tested. Only those free of the virus after quarantine get returned to the aircraft carrier. Crozier sent out an email and attached his letter of request on Monday, March 30th. It leaked to the press next day and was written up in a couple of papers the following day, April 1st. The Defense Department leadership were embarrassed. What was the government response to Brett Crozier's request? Well, Sophocles had the answer. No one likes a messenger who comes bearing unwelcome news. No surprise, the answer was swift. The next day, Crozier was fired by Acting Secretary of the Navy, Thomas Modley. In the past, firings of commanders had come only after months of investigations, but Crozier was fired within 3 days after his letter became public. Modley claimed he fired Crozier because of poor judgment in sending his email to 20 or 30 people. In fact, he had sent it to just 10, and he said Crozier was naive or stupid. That Navy secretary believed his action was approved by the President of the United States. Just a few weeks earlier, President Trump was still calling the pandemic a hoax. So Defense Secretary Mark Esper had urged American military commanders overseas not to make any decisions related to the coronavirus that might surprise the White House or run afoul of Trump's messages. Meanwhile, the Navy and Mount announced the same day of firing that now 93 sailors on the carrier tested positive for the virus, and that only those hundreds of sailors who had tested negative would be moved off the ship into hotel rooms on Guam for quarantine. And Acting Secretary Modley stated publicly, "In the next couple of days, we expect to have 2,700 of them off the ship." Only 1,200 of the 4,000 sailors had been tested so far. It would be at least a week before all could be tested. In the meantime, the number of positive cases was rising and would eventually reach 1,102 sailors infected. What happened to Captain Crozier? On Friday, April 3rd, he walked off the ship to the send-off for the ages, with hundreds of sailors aboard the ship cheering him for sacrificing his naval career by his letter. Crozier himself was also diagnosed soon afterwards with COVID-19, and the public has not heard from him since. His immediate superiors have pressed for his reinstatement, but the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, has put reinstatement on indefinite hold as he promotes a wide-ranging investigation. Well, what did the president say about the firing? His first response was, "I thought it was terrible that what Crozier did." As public criticism of the firing erupted, Trump added, "The captain should not have written a letter. He made a mistake, but he had a bad day." And what happened to Acting Secretary of the State, Thomas Modley? On Monday, April 6th, 4 days after he fired Crozier, he flew to Guam and with lots of bad language falsely accused Crozier of circumventing the Navy's chain of command. And then Modley resigned the next day after a growing chorus of lawmakers and former military demanded that Modley be fired because he single-handedly turned a health issue into a crisis of morals and morale for the Navy. The president later described Modley's resignation as unselfish. What happened to the more than 4,000 sailors of the aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt? Well, by April 10th, 4,059 sailors had moved to shore in Guam. One of them who had tested positive for the virus lost consciousness while he was in quarantine on shore, was transported to hospital, and he died. The ship now has been sanitized. Sailors with negative test results are back on board, but five later tested positive and have been evacuated, and their contacts had to be traced and tested. But the Theodore Roosevelt is still gearing up to return to duty. And what happened to the Navy? The truth that Crozier spoke has sent its echoes sounding over the decks and through the passageways of American ships around the world. At last, the Navy put into action a new set of procedures to stem the spread of the virus. It seems that the Navy knew of the outbreaks on three other ships beside the Roosevelt, the Essex, the Coronado, the Tripoli. When the case was first reported on a fourth ship, the USS Kidd, that's K-I-D-D, they knew the clock was ticking. Less than 3 weeks after the Theodore Roosevelt had finally been evacuated, the USS Kidd, a guided missile destroyer, pulled into San Diego, offloaded, tested, isolated, and treated its crew and disinfected their ship. Just as soon as that virus was discovered on board the Kidd, the ship was pulled from its mission, sent back to shore to start isolating the crew and cleaning up the ship. By its fast action, no massive outbreak developed on the Kidd. The truth that Crozier spoke saved the crew of the Kidd from likely disaster, and it will continue to save health and lives throughout the Navy. The story of the Theodore Roosevelt carrier speaks to our time of crisis, as truth is attacked daily with falsehood, distortion, and distraction. In our perilous times, democracy, civility, and truth have come under threat as this administration has cleared out science and scientists across all departments of government, inviting danger and death. Truths have walked the plank again and again. Falsehood has seized control of that tiller that steers our ship of state. Yet, we shall not forget that it's the stars that finally guide us through darkness, that the compass knows the true north, that courage shapes the best in our lives and tells us that when a task has become that duty from which we cannot turn away, in the words of Dag Hammarskjöld, a task becomes a duty from the moment you suspect it to be an essential part of that integrity which alone entitles a man to assume responsibility. I'm going to say that one again. A task becomes a duty from the moment you suspect it to be essential to that integrity that entitles a man to assume responsibility. We face a duty in our incredible war against the pandemic that's now taken almost 100,000 lives of Americans. We face an especially sacred duty to protect the lives of the women and men of our armed forces and all those who serve our country. Let us pray that truth will once again take command of our ship of state and steer us to that port of decency, truth, and compassion. Namaste.